I spend a great deal of energy reminding us of the precarious and at times difficult place in which we find ourselves in the world and in the church. Lest we be caught off guard or be lulled into some sense, if you will, as things as business as usual, it is always good for us to be prepared, to be vigilant, to be aware of the things swirling around us, both in the world and in the church. At times, that posture can be a combative one, a pugilistic one. It may not necessarily lead to the unity to which we are called in the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come to both our epistle and our gospel, which speak about charity, compassion, mercy, and reconciliation. And truly, upon reflection, the greatest sacrifice might be precisely that. Not the sacrifices that come from being persecuted by the world or being rejected by the church, but rather the cross of charity that we should always carry in our hearts and in our lives. It is easy to be at war with others. It is much more difficult to turn the other cheek and forgive. It is easy to create an environment of us against them, and even if that is true, we can never allow our hearts to become so hardened that we neglect the charity that is required of us by virtue of approaching our Lord Himself. Each time we receive Holy Communion, we take charity literally inside of ourselves. Each time we go to confession, we approach the throne of mercy and anticipate, and maybe with a degree of hubris, expect to be forgiven for our sins. God, who is never outdone in generosity, desires to do precisely that for us. And if we can go to God with our sins and be forgiven, how can we neglect to in turn do the same for others? There are indeed, brothers and sisters, more signs of disunity than there are unity. I preached on some of those last week at the 10 a.m. Mass, the things that happen in this month that is dedicated to the egregious sins that cry to heaven, the confusion about morality in the life of the church, and oftentimes this confusion is fomented by the very men who should be our shepherds, but seemingly have abandoned us. And then this coming Wednesday, we are going to be confronted with yet again another sign of disunity. This, if you will, on the other side of the debate, as the SSPX indeed probably will, and maybe for reasons that are good, ordain men to the episcopacy without the authority of Holy Mother Church. This is not to weigh in on right or wrong, only on the complexity that it has created and the confusion that it creates. And in truth, the real divisions that it creates in the life of the church, especially for us. Precisely because we have so many, if you will, pollinizations, cross-pollinizations between the various communities of traditional communities here in the Archdiocese of St. Louis. How will we move forward one with another? And what will be the Universal Church's response to us? Will this become another opportunity to persecute those of us who have chosen to remain faithful, to remain in communion, despite all that is done to push us aside? These are not insignificant questions, at times above our pay grade, maybe not for us to answer, but they are real and true nonetheless. And so what is the response? I don't know what the perfect response is, but I do know the response has to involve the virtue of charity, of mercy and compassion. It is easy to love those who are alike, those that we like, those with whom we agree. It is much more difficult to forgive and to remain in communion with those who breathe murderous threats against us, who seek our destruction, or simply do not want to live well with us. But their failures does not give us excuse
to depart from the command of charity. In truth, quite the opposite is true. Because the one we follow, our Lord and Savior, carried his cross willingly. The one who did not deserve to die, died that we might be free. The one who was sinless took all sin unto himself in order to set us free. If he chose to embrace this suffering in the face of the greatest injustice ever perpetrated on earth, how can we do any less than what it is that he has done? To be clear, I am not the perfect practitioner of the exhortation that I am giving you. Actually, quite the opposite is true. I'm much more comfortable waging war than I am seeking reconciliation. I am much more comfortable pointing out that there are battles to be fought than there is loving my neighbor and my enemy as well. But I am required to do so, whether it is comfortable or not, whether I like it or not, or whether it is easy or not. The Lord reminds us in our gospel that the fulfillment of the commandments is not only an external obeisance, it is an interior disposition of the whole person given over to the life of God. Not only must I avoid perpetrating violence upon another, I cannot have violence in my heart. I can't, if you will, exclude others physically. I also cannot exclude them spiritually. And again, this is the greatest of crosses, to forgive those who persecute, reject, and are cruel to us. Regardless of what it is that the church does, what the world does, we know what it is that we ought to do and that to which we are called. And we must be about the business of doing it, pure and simple. This is how the church not only has survived, but how she has thrived, how she has remained and perdured, precisely because in that moment when I might find it difficult to carry this cross of charity, the grace of God is poured out in abundance. In those experiences where I want to lash out at my enemies and destroy my persecutors, I will see the image of the Good Shepherd, the suffering servant, the crucified Lord, and be reminded that as he has done, so also I must do. This is not a polite exhortation, but in truth, brothers and sisters, is the very foundation of the sacrifice into which we are entering now. It is a sacrifice. Something is required. If it were easy, it would be empty of its meaning and have no value for salvation that it does. If indeed we receive the living God, and many of you will come forward and you will receive him and take him inside of yourself, then you are publicly committing, both in the sight of your brothers and sisters, but more importantly, in the sight of God and the angels and the saints, to live this life of charity. And so the integrity comes not me holding you accountable, but you understanding what it is that you undertake, not only by fulfilling the commandment of being present at Holy Mass, but with the great gift and reception of the Most Holy Eucharist, this deep and abiding call to charity again and again. Might there be opportunities for that this very day? I suspect that answer is true. And so call upon grace, call upon our Lord, the angels, the saints, and our Blessed Mother, to assist you and to strengthen your resolve, so that in the fullness of time you too can enjoy that peace and tranquility that lasts forever in heaven. And while we continue our sojourn here on earth, let us pray to love as indeed we have been loved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.